Isaiah 28, 9 through 13. I had to look a bit there. It's Isaiah chapter 28. As the Lord is pleased to grant his aid and help, we will take particular note of verses 9 through 13. Begin reading in verse 1. This is the word of God. Woe to the crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is as a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand. Crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim shall be trodden under feet, and the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower. And as the hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory, and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. But they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they may go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through it, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now therefore be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption even determined upon the whole earth. Give ye ear and hear my voice, hearken and hear my speech. Doth the plowman plow all day to sow? Doth he open and break the clods of his ground? When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the fitches, and scatter the cumin, and cast in the principal wheat, and the appointed barley, and the rye in their place? For his God doth instruct him to discretion, and doth teach him. For the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is a cartwheel turned about upon the cumin, but the fitches are beaten out with a staff and the cumin with a rod. Red corn is bruised, because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. And the word of God. I posit a question for you. How would you like to have Isaiah as your preacher? I say preacher because his role was definitely more in the role of prophet than the broad realm of a pastor, but certainly the one bringing the word of God unto you day in and day out. Oh, you may say initially, that would be wonderful. That would be lovely. If we had Isaiah preach to us, then we could really understand. Or maybe Spurgeon from old or a Rutherford. There's nothing new under the sun. We read here in these verses, especially 9 through 13, of their response to the prophet Isaiah's preaching. Not unlike the response to all the prophets that they persecuted. Their response to the word of the Lord being brought unto them, and then also of God's word back to them. And so this is what we have before us this morning. The word of God, whether or not our ear is open unto it. And if not, why? If so, why? We are men of like passions. We have the same heart, the same mind, the same reasoning as these people, even as they had in the days of the Apostle Paul. And they did not prize too highly, at least those men of the world and those in multitudes in the visible church. And so here we have the Word of God, how the people responded to it, what they thought about it, and what the Lord's response to them. So first, let us consider their response to the word of the Lord. The response of the priests, the response of the rulers. That is who is chiefly in view here. The response of the leading people in the community. And in fact, it was the response of all, except for that remnant upon whom the Lord would please to do His work. Their response to the word of the Lord. And notice verse 13. We'll look again at verses 9 through 13. Verse 13. But the word of the Lord was unto them. Now this is in the sense how it was delivered unto them, but also how it was received by them. The very word of God was unto them. Now we are not talking here of just merely the words of men, but the word of God, and it is the word of God even as it is today preached. Preach the word of the Lord Jehovah, the great I am. Well, first a word as to how the word of the Lord was delivered unto them. It was delivered unto them. We see something of that. Verses 10 and 13, this reference to precept upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, and then repeated in verse 13. Or verse 9, in the reference, whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine, truths, principles, declarations of thus saith the Lord? The Geneva Bible note references here saying they must have one thing often repeated. Often repeated, line upon line, precept upon precept, doctrine upon doctrine. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make understand doctrine? Well, it's babes. Verse 9 declares, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, those little children, those young babes, not adults yet, not mature, weaned, but yet babes. This is probably one of the verses, 10 and 13, precept upon precept, line upon line. Probably one of the verses that is most quoted in the history of the church, quoted out of context. To be sure, there is a reference here to babes and how they must be taught. Line upon line, repetition, A, B, C, A, B, C. This is the purpose for the shorter catechism. Now, while that might seem to be great in-depth doctrine to most of the ignorant world, it was written for the youth. Precept upon precept, repetition, repetition, repetition. Quite often, though, this verse is quoted as to how this teaching ought to be across the board to all and to adults. The Apostle Paul, referencing the idea of how one must teach babes, this is not a good thing. This is not here referenced here as a compliment to you or I. This is a prophetic rebuke, even. Or as the Apostle Paul, when he writes to the church of Corinth, he says, I have fed you with milk, not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Or as we read in Hebrews, in the 5th chapter there, in verses 12 through 13. See, it's no compliment to people at large saying, we need to teach you as babes. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. Writer of Hebrews, verses 12 through 13. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, and I don't think he's there referring in the sense of everyone called as a teaching minister as a minister, but as teachers of their neighbor, as teachers of their family, of spouse teaching spouse, so on and so forth. They ought to at least be able to teach and teach somebody. No, you ought to be teachers. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And there again you see that being called a babe in understanding and not being able to put two things together in a long line or even a short line of reasoning on these things, it is not a compliment. It is a rebuke. Now, it's interesting, though, if you consider, is Hebrews, at least the first five chapters, because in chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, let's move on from first principles. Is it that the first five chapters, even of Hebrews, is considered as milk for babes? Dare say, most people have very little understanding if this be the first principles. Or was this Isaiah's preaching? Did it always drop down to the level of babes, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line? If that's the case, where is it recorded? You would have to make the inference the book of Isaiah is this preaching. Well, if this is for babes, you and I must confess our ignorance, don't we? One thing's made clear here, also in verse 12, Isaiah, as elsewhere, preached the gospel. Summing up his message, the word of the Lord, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. So there he is summarizing his message. The Apostle Paul summarizes his message in referencing to preaching the cross of Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so Isaiah does as well, especially as you'll see in that 52nd and 53rd chapter. One of the richest portions in all of Scripture of that suffering servant and that one that one who did the work for you and suffered the penalty for you, that he himself is our rest. He is our peace. He has made a covenant for the people. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ calls out unto all ye that are weary, unto all ye that are heavy laden, what? Come unto me. You will find that rest. Or as we sang in Psalm 95. And then as it is explained in the epistle to the Hebrews, as it holds forth Jesus Christ, that rest of which the Sabbath day of rest all points to the Lord Jesus Christ, which is why we now worship on the first day of the week in relation to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our all in all. He preached the gospel. The entire revelation of Isaiah is that preaching of the gospel in conjunction, of course, with that law word which would drive us from ourselves and that sweet gospel drawing us unto Christ. You see, we are to be as babes in heart in desiring milk, but not babes in such that we lack discernment or lack depth. One thing that is rather clear in the declining of our culture is people's ever-increasing lack and ability to reason, to think, to put one thought after another, and then even, perchance, follow it with a third. Unless something is as short as a few-second sound bite, or as tasty as a small piece of sugar, people will not hear. This is not a commendation. It is a condemnation that it must be presented in that way. You know, not be as babes in lacking discernment. Yes, as babes in that dependence and that thirst, desiring the milk of the word. But the Apostle Paul also writes to the church at Corinth and he says, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice, that is in wickedness and malice, deceit and malice, be ye children, but in understanding be men. Word of the Lord. I think what we especially have in comment here, or revelation, is how the word of the Lord was perceived by them. How did they perceive the preaching of the very word of God? Verse 13 again, but the word of the Lord was unto them. It was unto them as child's play. To them it was beneath them. To them it was stammering. And in fact, it may well be that verses 9 and 10, the prophet is speaking the words that have come out of the mouth of drunkards and these rulers. Notice verse 10, if you have the authorized version, which is so lovely that when it brings in a word for help in interpretation, it italicizes it. For precept must be upon precept. It's just simply as in the sense of precept upon precept. Now, this may well be Isaiah speaking in reference to these men as to how they perceive it, or whether it's their own mocking words. But you can hear the words in their mouth. Who does this Isaiah think he is? Does he think we are children and babes? We've got this. This is beneath us. And in fact, I think it is implied here, they took him as just stammering on. Now, rarely do I ever paraphrase or quote directly from the Hebrew. But here I think it 'll be very helpful for you to hear. Because when we use stammering, our references to stammering, if you hear the English, precept upon precept upon precept, line upon line, I don't think we get the sense of it.
Tzav l'tzav, tzav l'tzav, kav l'kav, kav l'kav, blah, blah, blah. Doctrine, 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 law, law, law. You hear him now. You can hear this repetitious, almost a whining. Blah, 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 blah. This is what the word became. Or like, you're just droning on. You see the symbol in the American speech. Someone's speaking a true word. And someone who insults them will just go, don't they? This is the sense. This is how the very word of God through the prophet Isaiah is being received by these people. Blah, blah, blah. It's as a Babel tongue to them. That's the play here we have in verse 11. We'll see that in God's response in the judgment he will bring. For with stammering lips and another tongue, yes, he will speak. Because now they're mocking the prophet, just like they would Paul centuries later. Oh, he's powerful in his letters, but in his speech, contemptible. Or Moses. Aaron would speak for Moses because they found his delivery contemptible. My friend, you will always, always, always be able to find something in these earthen vessels that God has chosen through the foolishness of preaching to bring forth the word of God. Be it Moses or Isaiah or Paul or Timothy. Or what'd they find against Timothy? Oh, he's just a kid. Timothy, don't let them despise you because of your youth. Preach the word of God. But you will always be able to find something, my friend. For not only are we weak as pieces of earth, we are polluted and sinful men. And so they responded to Isaiah. Maybe you would say, but if Jesus Christ himself would preach to me, then... No, my friend, this is the wickedness of our hearts, isn't it? This preaching of the word of God was as a Babel tongue to them. Noise and confusion. In fact, the Apostle Paul quotes portions of verses 11 and 12 in 1 Corinthians 14:21. Which I read 14:20, as far as in understanding be men, in 14:21, he takes this word, and he makes application. It's not a direct application here, but he makes application in reference to the Corinthians' seeming delight in speaking in tongues, but without any understanding. And so it's a stammering noise, a Babel confusion. That's what he draws out of this. This is how it was perceived by them. Isaiah's preaching the word of God was to them merely tzav l'tzav, kav l'kav, or a little here, a little there, but nothing much in their minds. The word of the Lord is delivered to them, as perceived by them. And third, the sad truth is the word of the Lord was not received by them. They did not and would not here. The gospel we referenced in verse 12, that word and good news to the weary sinner, life held forth, but notice the sad pronouncement at the end of verse 12, yet they would not hear. Not just could not, they would not hear. They refused to hear. Hearing, but not hearing. They heard noises, but not hearing. They saw the prophet, but not seeing. Christ, in chastising the multitude, the prophets had come. Then John the Baptist came unto you and preached. Now Christ himself, but then he states, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. And so, well, He's not deep enough. He makes it deeper. He's too deep. He's too deep. He makes it more simple. Oh, now it's too simple. Oh, he preaches too much law. He didn't mourn. He preaches nothing but gospel invitation. You're not dancing. The problem's not in the Word of God, is it? You read of those ever learning but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. Not connecting the dots, but blaming the preacher for it. Not to let preachers off the hook. My job is not to make things as confusing as possible. I need little help or assistance to do that. No, it is to preach the word. But that's not at issue here. Even if a jackass came and preached to you or spoke to you the Word of God, it's the Word of God. With stammering lips, with lisping, it's the Word of God. The very worst sermon ever preached in the world, in all history, if it is the preaching of the Word, it's the Word of God. That's the issue here. Today we live with so many Google theologians and Facebook warriors. We read in the earlier verses here of their drunkenness. But drunkenness was not their chief sin. Pride and unbelief. Proud and haughty scorner is his name. Or Isaiah says in chapter 30 and verse 9. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. And so, verse 14 of our chapter 28, as the prophet continues to make application, they would not hear. And then verse 14, wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men. He drives down into the root of the problem. And it went beyond their eating and drinking and being merry. And this hard heart of unbelief, the heart of pride. Did we not see it in the days of Moses, and Aaron, and Miriam? Who put this man? Can we not? Can we not speak the word of God? Oh, pride. Pride in 10 minutes on the computer, and now everyone's an expert on every doctrine there is. And with access, with such preacher shopping, that they just fit ones and find ones to fit their ear. Because, of course, the weak one that brings it week in and week out, there's much that can be found. No, it's pride, you scornful men. Those who are always critics, but no open ear. Those always judging the preaching, but never, like those noble Bereans, receiving the word and searching the scriptures. This word of God, which is able to save your souls. No, the heart of the issue is not how poor the preaching is, because however poor it may be, if it's the word of God preached, you can have an ear to hear. So, my friend, open your ears and the doors of your hearts. When you stand before the Lord on the great day of judgment, I will have my sins to answer for. I'll answer for every idle word out of the pulpit. But you will not be able, as you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, say, that preacher thou didst give me. That's why I refuse to hear. He was just too weak, too stumbling, too stammering. It's your fault. It's thou, O Lord, or that preacher. No, my friend, it will you. Would you open your ear and hear? And live. We also have, second, not only their response to the Word of God, but the Lord has His Word back to them here as well. The Lord's response to them, and first, they will be given over to hearing His Word as stammering. You think the Word of God is just blah, blah, blah? well, you'll be given over to that judgment, to where that's all it'll ever sound like on your ears, a Babel's noise and a Babel's confusion. You see, verse 11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. He tied that into verse 13. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here little and there little, that they may go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Now, whether this is a consequence of their reaction to the word, this occurs when you treat the word this way, that you will fall backward and be broken and snared and taken, or whether it is that a purpose of the Lord, that's a distinction without a difference. For when we consider the sovereignty of the Lord, now this word is unto them and their ears are closed, and it is just a stammering word, just a stammering word, that they may fall into destruction, that they may be taken. One minister of old, his comment on verse 13 is to the point. We have seen a passage closely resembling this one here, verse 13, in which the prophet compared his doctrine to sealed letters, there in chapter 8 and verse 16. Afterwards, we shall find that the prophet compares it to a book that is shut, the very next chapter, verse 11. This takes place when, on the account of the ingratitude of man, God takes from them judgment and sound understanding, so that, now referencing back to Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 9, quoted in the Gospels, seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, and thus are most justly punished. This gospel, verse 12, what was the word to them and held forth? Here is your rest. Here is your life. Here is your refreshing. Now God has given them over to not hearing. And in fact, to hear a sound but not understand the distinction of words, no understanding. Just blah, blah, blah to them. He's given them over. Further unto that, mercy's not improved upon. It's what we see in Romans chapter 1, isn't it? Steeped in sin, then God gives them over to that. And so in their response, they responded that this is just, as it were, stammering. And so now the Lord gives them over to not hearing that word of refreshing. The sweet gospel sound, do we not read in the Scriptures in the New Testament to one? It is a savor of life unto life. But to another, that savor of death unto death. Perceived as death, and it ends in death. Not hearing the sweet sound, not hearing the joyful sound, not having that new heart which is able to hear, they are given over even further. Oh, how great is the wickedness of man, that the preaching of the gospel itself could be turned by their own heart into an hardening agent. The gospel of itself is a sweet sound, a precious word of itself. It is not an agent of hardening. So how it is it a savor of death unto death? Because the wickedness of man can take the sweetest gift of God, and because of their hatred of God, they're repulsed by it, and it's death unto death. Do we not see that very reception of the Lord Jesus Christ? Preaches the word to them, and then multitudes desert him. Or do we not read of the Lord Jesus Christ, not in his physical form of beauty, as in the worldling or men of this world, but in his speech, in his actions, in his demeanor, do we not have revealed unto us that he is the express image of the person of the Father and the brightness of his glory, but yet they behold no beauty in him? In fact, because of the hardness of man, and Jesus Christ being no agent to cause that, except that in the hardness of their heart, because of their hatred of God, they hated his Son. So it is with the Word of God. The depths of the wickedness of our hearts that can take this Word, and because of our natural inclination and sin nature against God, to hear that sweet sound, that it now becomes the most annoying noise there is. Hence they stop their ears. To one, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. To another, it's a stumbling stone. But to some, it is the gospel of God, the power of God unto salvation. What a fearful judgment this is, we read of here, to be given over to hearing the word of God as a mere Babel sound. And we even see this back in Isaiah's call to the prophetic ministry, do we not? Already referenced Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 9. And he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not." This is the Lord's response to them. They are given over unto this further judgment. And all they hear is a Babel sound. And there's a second response of the Lord as well. They will be given over to the rod, to the rod of chastisement. You see verse 17 in the 28th chapter. And it plays or draws on a word from the section we've been looking at. Judgment also will I lay to the line. Same word line from line upon line. You wouldn't listen to this line. Now I will bring something in a language that you might understand. The implied judgment there in verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Not only a reference, I think, to being given over to the judgment of continuing to hear this word as a Babel sound, but in a very literal sense, a people whose language that they do not understand will be brought upon them. This is a reference, as we've seen a number of times in Isaiah, to the rod of Assyria. This is that hail, destroying storm, verse 2, that will sweep the land. This is that same storm that's going to be referred to in verses 17 and following. The Assyrian language is a related dialect. And if you've ever been around somebody who's speaking maybe English, but not quite the same English, you're catching things, but you're really not catching it. For example, when we visited parts of Scotland, they were speaking English, but the phrasing and the words and the dialect was just enough. It was almost like stammering to me. Now, this is the Assyrian. We saw this back in the 8th chapter. Chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. For as much as this people refuseth the waters of Shiloah to go softly, that ties in even to verse 12, to this refreshing word, this sweet gospel offer. Believe in the Lord. No, and rejoice in Rezin and Remaliah's son. Now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria. This is part of the very curses that are pronounced and prophesied in the days of Moses to bring on a people of a foreign tongue. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 49. That if they refused to hear, that if they would not bend the knee and serve the living God, Then the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. And so the sense here in verse 11, and placed within this context of the judgment of Assyria, I will now bring upon you a language that you will understand. Oh, not their verbal speech, but the rod. If your ear is not open to the soft word, then your back will be laid open for the rod of chastisement. Isn't that what we do with children as well? They wouldn't listen to the word. They wouldn't understand the correction, the training, and the reproof. And so now here's a language that they will understand. Because if they are thinking as the worldly, which they are when they reject the word, there is a language via nature that is understood, and that's called pain. Pain. That's the rod. You can't hear the word. Let's associate this with it. This is the rod of Assyria. That's what the prophet is saying. You reject this spoken word, and it's to you a stammering. I'll bring a language you'll understand. Not only their verbal speaking in the sense of stammering, but it will be that rod of chastisement. Proverbs, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Now, chastisement doesn't always come immediately in relation to sin. We read that in Job. But clearly one aspect and the reason that it comes here in relation to Isaiah, to Israel, and then Judah is on account of their rejecting the word of God. This is what Ahaz did. Asked for a sign. He had already turned to the arm of flesh. They rejected the word of God. Experience is a difficult teacher. And so in that very last book of Scripture, Revelation, we have this refrain repeated a number of times. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Oh, that the Lord would be pleased to give us an ear to hear. You cannot open your own ear. Oh, you will refuse. You cannot give yourself understanding, not at the root, and it will be to just unto you noise and confusion. The Lord must open your ear and give you an ear to hear, not what Isaiah or this current one says, but what the Spirit says. This is the Word of God, the Spirit of God, speaking unto his sheep, and the sheep hear his voice, that you might hear the voice of the shepherd saying, this is your rest, come unto me. This is the Lord Jesus Christ in his word, holding forth unto you that are weary. Quit fighting, quit kicking against it. Humbly receive the word of God to be engrafted into your soul, for the salvation of your souls. May the Lord give us an ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen.